Welcome in to the Illini Inquirer podcast. It is Jeremy Warner live in the bowels of Barclays Center, where it's a big night for Illinois basketball as they have the number 5 overall pick in the NBA draft. Keaton Wagler goes number 5 to the LA Clippers. A lot of chalk in this lottery tonight here. Kyle Tosk, who's joining us back in Illinois. But what a moment for Keaton Wagler, who just a year ago, Kyle, was just trying to become a rotation player for Illinois. Now he's the 5th pick in what is one of the most loaded drafts we've seen in quite some time. So what a cap to all of it. I caught up with Brad Underwood, Tyler Underwood, Keaton Wagler a little bit afterwards, Kyle. But what did you make? Keaton Wagler, we'll talk about the fit. But the end of the Illini story and the start of an NBA career heading to Hollywood for Keaton Wagler.
Yeah, there's two angles to every draft story, right? And you're covering both of them very well. But the primary angle here needs to be what a freaking story Keaton Wagler is. One of the more unprecedented one-and-done stories that college basketball has ever seen. And for it to end this way as a top 5 draft pick, to end up in a great spot with the Clippers. But to truly, I mean, we saw mock drafts all season long, and you know, we talked about where he could be and, you know, where he could fall beyond kind of what felt like the top 4 in this draft. Well, he was the first guy taken after what was seen as kind of the big 4 in this draft, which is pretty remarkable. Shows you what the league thought about him and obviously what the Clippers thought about him. But what a cap on an unbelievable story for somebody who was ranked 261st in the composite rankings, had two high major offers, one from Illinois, one from Minnesota, didn't play on a major shoe brand circuit as a high schooler, comes in, and yes, we heard all the buzz all summer, but even then, and I'll be the first to put my hand up on our preseason podcast, like, all right, let's pump the brakes a little bit here. Like, yeah, Keaton Wagler, we're hearing so much good buzz, but we can't possibly put the expectation on him that he's going to come in and be one of the top players on this team, or that, you know, we can't get too ahead of ourselves. But what ends up happening, he puts up one of the best individual seasons in Illinois history, leads him to a Final Four, breaks every freshman record that the program has, pretty much. One of 3 top 5 draft picks now. Just unbelievable story, unbelievable season, and I think a heck of a situation for Keaton Wagler. Couldn't be happier for him and his family, and we'll get to the Illinois side of it. But just awesome to see this be how Keaton Wagler's entire story and season is kind of wrapped up, because it was a remarkable one.
We certainly at Illinois will probably never see a story like this, a rise like this. Like, you can have a Kendall Gill who comes in as, like, you know, 120th or whatever in his class, and then slowly, gradually, Kyle, become the number 5 pick in the draft. Or Darren Williams, like number 60, right, in his class, somewhere around there. And he slowly, gradually becomes one of the best players in the country over years. To do it this quickly, this type of ascent from, as you said, number 261 in the composite rankings, the Athletic had this number. He is the highest NBA draft pick ever among U.S.-born one-and-done freshmen who ranked outside the top 100 of the Recruiting Services Consensus Index. That dates back to 1998. We've never seen a top 5 draft pick with this background, Kyle. So that is what is pretty amazing about this story. And Illinois will admit, I talked with Tyler Underwood tonight, you know, part of this is luck, right? They made a good evaluation. They thought Keaton Wagler was going to be a good player eventually. They did not expect a lot of him before he got here in the summer. But then he got here this summer, and Tyler has to give his parents a call that's saying, hey, you probably need to get an agent, because he's probably going to be an NBA player probably sooner than you expected him to be. But no one thought it would be after 1 year. So that's on Keaton for his belief in himself, for answering the challenge right away, going at these veterans on the team. But also, that's credit to the Illinois system as well. We'll dive more into that, but we'll probably never see anything like this. Like, even Tyler talking today, it's like, you know, we can't probably replicate the result, but we can replicate the process. And that's not to put a ceiling on a kid. And when he came into Illinois and dominated like he did, they didn't just say, ah, that's not going to translate to the season. Eventually, when the offense wasn't as good as they thought, they went back, well, this kid was our best offensive player in the summer. Let's give him the keys to the car and look what happened. So, probably never see a story like this, and that's why it's so cool kind of seeing it all cap off tonight as one of the 3 players in Illinois history to be a top 5 NBA draft pick. Like, if we would have told ourselves that a year ago. We think we're drugged up or something, Kyle.
Yeah, it's really crazy. And look, you can replicate the process all you want, and I'm sure that Illinois is going to continue producing NBA talent, as we've written about on this current roster, and Illinois has made that clear. I would be surprised if any story comes close to what this one is, and just the way that it all unfolded with Keaton Wagler and the evaluation that Tyler Underwood and Brad Underwood made here. I don't think either of those guys will have one quite like this ever again in their coaching careers. I think that's almost pretty safe to say, just with how unprecedented it was. And that is, it's a total credit to Keaton Wagler, because clearly Keaton Wagler was a lot better than the number 261 ranked player. That's first and foremost. He came in and proved that from the second he stepped on campus. And once Illinois saw that, it becomes pretty easy to then obviously put that guy on the floor and let him thrive. Yet at the same time, I think there is something to be said from the Illinois side of it. Like, Illinois did give him the freedom, set him up for success, set him up to have the season they had. And that was not the plan going into last year. They invested a lot of money in Mihailo Petrovic. Kylan Boswell was well established as a 3-year college contributor, 2-year starter that was already there in the backcourt. It's not easy for a lot of teams to put that level of trust in a freshman, in an unheralded freshman coming in, to fully turn the keys over. Obviously, that was the right thing for Illinois to do, but it's not every program, every staff in the country that's going to be comfortable doing that and giving Keaton all the freedom that Illinois gave him. And obviously, the offensive system is a big part of that, and the spacing and everything that Illinois set Keaton up with to have the season he had. I mean, you listen, Sam Vecenie went on Ryan Russillo's podcast and talked about how one of the knocks on Keaton Wagler's draft stock was, well, the system was so great at Illinois that NBA front offices are questioning whether Keaton Wagler, you know,
system quarterback.
Yeah, he was a system player almost in college, which that is a heck of a compliment to what Tyler Underwood and this staff are doing and just what Illinois is building offensively. But more than anything, Keaton Wagler has earned this with his play, with the way that he went out in the biggest moments and delivered. And to your point, the way that he came in right away and wasn't afraid to prove himself, to challenge established veterans and to earn this opportunity. So pretty cool night.
And I think he's coming to the NBA at the right point, Kyle, where you're thinking skill and IQ are at a premium more than ever. Like, you think about the best players in the NBA, the superstars in the NBA. It's Nikola Jokic. It's Jalen Brunson, who just won. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Tyrese Halliburton. Luka Doncic, obviously, is a different animal. But, like, those are the players that are running your offenses around. And we'll talk about Keaton's fit here with the LA Clippers. But the Illini run a system that's similar to a lot of the stuff the NBA teams do, and really got to showcase his skill. Illinois deserves some credit, obviously, in that development. And this become not top 10 picks and top 5 picks aren't a regular occurrence, but first round draft picks becoming a regular occurrence. You know, you think about 6 years ago, 7 years ago, I would assume it becomes the first draft pick since Myers Leonard, like, just to get a draft pick. And we'll talk more about Io and why he should have been a first-round draft pick. And he got paid like it yesterday. But just to get one was a huge breakthrough for this program. And then just to get one in the first round, Terrence Shannon Jr. a couple years ago, felt like such a breakthrough. They have 3 picks, 1-and-dones in the last 2 years, Kyle. This is an NBA factory. Illinois basketball is an NBA factory again. And it's no surprise that wins have followed up. It's no surprise that the 3 top 5 picks in Illinois history all played in a Final Four, right? Darren Williams, Kendall Gill, and now Keaton Wagler. This is the talent you need. It's the development you need. And it's the consistency of developing that talent that you need to be a powerhouse program. And now, Stefan Vaux, hearing good things, Kyle, about early on of what he's doing on the court. Quentin Coleman's got the potential to be that. Davan Mirkovic, I think it's going to be an NBA draft pick and potentially a first-round NBA draft pick. Andre Stojakovic is probably going to be an NBA draft pick. So this is an NBA factory now, and that's what you need to be.
Yeah, and this makes the first time in program history that Illinois had first-round picks in 3 consecutive drafts. So you're really starting to build one on top of the other. And to your point, I would not be surprised if that becomes 4 in a row one way or another next year. if it doesn't, I mean, there's so many guys that Illinois has on this roster that I think will be in the NBA one day. You're starting to really establish that presence now. And that goes such a long way when attracting the next Keaton Wagler and the next NBA guard and continuing to accrue the talent that Illinois is. Being able to develop pros and sell that is that's one of the most important things for any prospect that's coming into college, whether you're a five-star or whether you're underranked and coming in to develop. Like, everyone wants to see a pathway that they can become a pro. That's the dream for almost all these players. And so to be able to have the proven track record now and to point to, you know, different ways that you've done it, different types of players that you've done. Obviously the guard cell is as good as anybody has in the country now with what Illinois is building there and might continue to with the guards on next year's roster. But yeah, that's how you keep adding these types of talents. That's how you don't, you know, have the drought that Illinois has had between top five picks from Kendall Gill to Darren Williams, not a Keaton, for much longer, because now you can attract that level of talent with the consistency that Illinois has developed NBA picks. And yeah, everything's turning up Illinois right now. They're in a really good spot. And tonight is a pretty good night for Illinois to showcase to a lot of people.
Let's talk about the NBA fit for Keaton Wagler. I think a lot of Illini fans have become Timberwolves fans because Terrence Shannon and Ayo Dosunmu, and you can keep those Timberwolves fandom with Ayo locking up, and Terrence will probably be there for another couple of years with how affordable he is. Now you're going to have some Clippers fans with the Illini. He goes to a team, Kyle, that barring a Kawhi Leonard trade, is trying to win now. You have Darius Garland, Kawhi Leonard, and now Keaton Wagler joins that. What do you think of his fit in LA, both the short and long term?
I really like it. I like it for both short term and long term. I think short term, for him to go to a team, it's pretty rare for a top five pick to go to a team that is, you know, semi in contention or at least has eyes on contending. Now, would I take the Clippers anywhere near the realm of San Antonio or Oklahoma City? Definitely not. But I think as long as Kawhi is there, and there is only one more year on Kawhi's deal, and there's some off-court stuff that will play out, so we'll see how that whole situation goes. My anticipation is that the Clippers are going to keep kind of the core they have there with Kawhi and Darius Garland, Bennedict Mathurin, and see what they can do in the West. And that's pretty good situation for Keaton Wagler to go into right away, because we know how much of an impact that he can have on a winning team, even when he doesn't have the ball in his hands, with the way that, just how smart he is, with the way that he rebounds, the effort he plays with, how good of an IQ he has defensively. Like, I think he can fit a role on a team right away and come along a little bit more slowly, playing alongside Darius Garland as more of an off guard initially. Now, I think he'll still have plenty of chances to play on the ball too, because I think the Clippers sorely need a guy who can kind of run that second unit and provide that secondary initiator for them. So I think that dynamic will work really well with him and Darius Garland. But then as you look towards the long term, like, I do think there is going to reach a point very soon where this Clippers team, Kawhi's not going to be there much longer. They probably are going to go into a transition period, and they need a young star upside talent to build around. And obviously they think Garland can be that, but to have Keaton Wagler as can kind of lead you into that next wave. And I think his opportunities on the ball will grow over time. He'll have some pressure on him to come in and be a contributor immediately, with the Clippers hoping to contribute, but it's not a situation where, hey, the weight of everything is on Keaton right away, and he has so much to shoulder. I think he can come in, he can develop, and hopefully a few years down the line, as the Clippers are transitioning into kind of a new era, you could see the best version of Keaton Wagler as a cornerstone piece for them. So I think it's a perfect mix for him, a good situation. I think Tyronn Lue's a really good coach. I think it's a really nice fit for him there in Los Angeles.
Yeah, and, you know, you talked about the Kawhi. There's an investigation into was aspiration or whatever all that stuff is to Pablo Torre, and they need this pick to hit, because you wonder if they could get some picks taken away from them. So they had to invest a lot into this. And the fact that they took Wagler over guys like Acuff and Mikel Brown Jr. and Kingston Fleming, is all guys who are five stars. They're putting a lot of faith in him, but I agree with you. There's not a ton of pressure right away, other than to be a good role player, complimentary player, and impact winning. And to be honest with you, I love that Keaton Wagler is going to a team that expects to win and compete right away, because I think that's right up his alley. And I think, even though he's got to add strength here, Kyle, I think everyone knows that, he he's added 25 pounds in the last year. He's up to 192. And I didn't think strength was really an issue for him late in the season. He's a tough player. He's a smart player. And again, he's just never daunted. Like yesterday, his biggest concern, Kyle, wasn't about where he's drafted, about going to the NBA. It was about, are his shoes going to arrive? Right. Everyone else is nervous around him, but not Keaton. So I think he's ready for it. I think just like with Io, and I think just like another guy who just got drafted, Merez Johnson Jr., I don't worry about those guys like not living up to their ceiling. I think you're going to get the best of Keaton Wagler, whether that's a Tyrese Halliburton level player, Derek White level player, or something that's just like a nice solid starter in your backcourt. I think Keaton Wagler is going to maximize his ability in the NBA. I have no doubt about that.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I think there is a really high ceiling for what Keaton Wagler can be, as we saw, because he's still really, really young. He still, to your point, I think has so much that he can still develop physically, and yet that didn't bother him. Like, I think he plays really physical despite not necessarily having the body to match it. So as he continues to develop in that area, I have no concern about what his game is going to look like. But yeah, I mean, he's proven that throughout his entire career so far, that he can get the most out of himself. And he's just such a smart player that I think the ceiling is really high, but the floor is also incredibly high to me, because I think at worst you're getting somebody who's going to be unbelievably smart, really high IQ, can fit any role you need him to, is going to be tough, is going to do a lot of little things really well, is not going to complain about how much the ball is in his hands or what he has to do. Elite shooter. I think he'll be that in the NBA. If you can make threes at a high level, you can stick in the league for a long time. I think he's going to make a lot of shots. So,
great defender, Kyle, he's a solid one. He's going to be right. A solid one. He's going to work at it. He's going to care about it. And we know he's going to rebound. So all of those things matter to the NBA teams, and they value it, because Darius Akhoff could score 30 points a game at some point in his career, right? Mykal Brown Jr. could be a great scorer in the NBA. I think there are questions about all the other things with those guys. With Keaton, as you said, like, I think a lot of things they value is why he won five tonight.
Yeah, totally agree with that. So I have no doubt that Keaton Wagler is going to be in the NBA for a long time. And whatever that ends up looking like, I think the Clippers are a good spot for him to develop and grow. And I do like the match with Garland there, so I'll be excited to watch that backcourt. But, I think Keaton Wagler is – you know, you look at the guards in this class, and obviously there's some bias involved, but I just think, you know, you should have so much confidence of the character and the IQ and the smarts of what you're getting with Wagler, and obviously the story that he is and what's gotten him to this point. Like, I think the Clippers should feel really good that they got a player who's going to help impact them one way or another for long term, and a guy that certainly could become a star, all-star caliber player too down the line too. That's absolutely in the realm of possibility for Keaton.
It's Illinois is such an NBA factory, Kyle. Even players who leave the program get drafted nowadays. Brandon Podziemski goes top 20 a couple years ago. Merez Johnson Jr., what a year for Merez. Breaks up the chalk of this draft, by the way. The top 8 picks, all chalk. And then we get Dusty May going to the Mavericks. And what happens? He brings Merez Johnson Jr. with him. Now, I don't know. I've been here, so I haven't heard anything of what's been out there. But I don't know how much Dusty May had an impact on that pick. But what a year, what a player. And again, like, I know Illinois fans probably don't want us talking about him, but like, I just think you're going to get the most out of that guy. And I wanted the Bulls to get him. I figured they wouldn't be able to have a chance for him. He goes even higher than expected at number 9. He was in this program too, and I thought he had a good year. He goes to Michigan, has an even better year. I wouldn't have projected him to go number 9 in this draft. So what a year for Merez, and what a year for Michigan to have those 3 picks, but you lost the coach that had those 3 picks. So how are you going to build off that? We got to bring that up, man. Andy Katz asked Brad about it here today, and Brad said, hey, that's great. That's his dream. He knows Mike Boynton, obviously, who was his assistant, replaced him at Oklahoma State, got Cade Cunningham, and then obviously he's gone on to Michigan here. But what an opportunity for Illinois to establish itself as the major team in this conference, because that's a big loss for the Big Ten. Obviously, Michigan gets the first title of this century for the Big Ten. But Michigan State, Purdue, Illinois, you got to feel good, right? Iowa, Purdue. These programs got to feel good that, you know, Michigan and that behemoth now has at least some instability. Now they could go hire Billy Donovan and go hire one of the better coaches and be just fine. But what a loss for Michigan after winning the title. But I get it for Dusty May. You get a chance to go coach Cooper Flagg and be an NBA coach. You go do it, because if you want to come back to the college game, it'll be there for Dusty May, who's still in his 40s.
Yeah, and you leave at the ultimate peak. You win a national title, and look, I'm sure Michigan fans are still, their heads are kind of spinning, but I think a lot of people are willing to live with it, knowing what he delivered there with a national title. So I think it certainly makes sense for him. But to your point, like, man, that really shifts the landscape, not only the Big Ten, but really college basketball, because Dusty May is kind of building the giant there at Michigan. It felt like it just with the way that he recruited the portal. Obviously, resources have a huge part of that, and that Michigan roster last year was very well compensated to put that group together that had three lottery picks. But man, it seemed like Dusty May was one of the best young coaches in college basketball. That if he stayed at Michigan for a while, which I don't know how realistic that was, because it's felt like he's been a guy who's going to make this leap at some point to the NBA when the right opportunity came across. But for however long he was going to stay at Michigan, it felt like, man, they were one or two or three at that Big Ten standing every year, as Illinois has been here recently. But they were going to be a factor, and the talent that he was accruing there in Ann Arbor, and just talking the immediate short term, like, this is a Michigan roster next year that I think has national title upside. But losing your head coach this late in the process, I don't think anybody will probably leave from that roster with Mike Boynton.
But it'll negatively impact them, right?
But yeah, it's not nothing. To lose your head coach, one of the better coaches in college basketball, like, that takes a hit for what Michigan's outlook is. And, you know, then the team that's right next to them there in that pecking order, it feels like early, and Michigan State's in there too. But Illinois, like, yeah, this is a chance for Illinois to really take control of the Big Ten this year with a roster that's certainly capable of doing it. And same goes for some other teams in the Big Ten. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see kind of what unfolds for Michigan there. I would imagine that they're going to try and swing big next offseason. I had the same thought, like, this feels like the Billy Donovan spot.
He's going to have options, man.
If Todd Golden doesn't make this same Dusty May jump at Florida next year, that one definitely raises my eyebrows a little bit of, like, that could be pretty perfect for Billy Donovan, would be pretty awesome for Michigan. So we'll see how that plays out. But in the immediate term, pretty big opportunity for Illinois to take advantage.
If Florida, Kentucky, and Michigan are all open, that's a really interesting thing for Billy Donovan if he goes back or he tries something new. But yeah,
big if it's Florida, I think that's the one. Like, he'll just go back there. But yeah, Michigan would be pretty enticing otherwise.
Merez 9 to the Mavs. I love D'Axel Lenneborg, number 11 to Golden State. You got to get the most out of Steph's last couple of years here, and Yaks helps him immediately. He fills a huge need. And Adeyemar, add him to the front court to throw against Wemby for the Oklahoma City Thunder, who also and now you have what? You have Hartenstein, Chet, Adai, and now Sorber gets healthy to throw at Wemby. And then they have Bennett Sturts. I love that. Bennett going to the Thunder as a role player shooter, man. I love what the Thunder did adding those Big Ten players.
Yeah, the rich get richer, don't they? The Thunder. They needed two more first-round picks in this draft because it's just been unbelievable what they've
built there. That Sam Presti, pretty good at GMing.
Yeah, pretty good at it. I was curious if they were going to make some type of big splash here with those picks. Maybe that still comes. But if they keep both these guys, man, it's a pretty good haul, especially considering, like, at some point Oklahoma City is going to have some financial issues, and not at some point now. There's some financial considerations that they have to go through here with so many guys on this roster, and I don't really think they're going to be able to bring back Isaiah Hartenstein long term, just because you can't sign everybody on this team. So now bringing in Adeyemar in that mix long term at the center spot, knowing that you're going to have to guard Wemby for the next 10 years probably, pretty perfect for them. Bennett, the one thing they were missing, and hopefully they're not hit as hard with injuries next year, but it just felt like they were missing kind of that secondary creator alongside Shea in that Spurs loss. insert Bennett Sturts there, who I think can be pretty perfect in that, and he can coexist with a lot of other talent too, because he's a heck of a shooter. Same qualities as Keaton in a lot of respects, just with his smarts and ability to connect things. So, yeah, pretty amazing haul for Oklahoma City, who does not need more talent, but they're getting it. And they're going to be a factor for probably the next 10 years or so. That the Spurs Thunder is probably the Western Conference Finals matchup over half of the next 10 years. I would not be surprised if that's the case.
Yeah, I was wondering if you'd say for the next 5 years, but yes, there's some teams, there's some upsets that'll happen, injuries will happen, but yeah, I think it's going to happen many more times. Hannes Steinbeck going 14. It hurt me, man. I think the Bulls knew they weren't going to get him because they acquired Nick Claxton yesterday, but I really wanted Steinbeck to the Bulls. He goes 14 to the Charlotte Hornets. What'd you make of the Bulls? Caleb Wilson, Dalen Swain out of Texas.
Caleb Wilson, I mean, easiest pick of the draft, right? If that didn't happen, it was going to be a humongous upset. Could not be more excited to get a guy with that upside, with that athletic profile, to really bring some real hope back to Chicago for the first time in a while. It's been a really long time since the Bulls have had a draft prospect with this type of upside that Caleb Wilson offers. Might be since Derrick Rose that you've had this type of ceiling in a draft pick. Obviously, Jimmy Butler became an all-star. He was drafted later. And
what about Patrick Williams, man?
Yeah, that name makes me angry when I hear it now, thinking about what his contract is right now.
A lot of slap tonight with Caleb Wilson and Dalen Swain. We are committing to that slap terminology here.
Yeah, I was just about to say that. Like, this is clearly a Bryson Graham draft. He's come in here and he's taken two guys who fit exactly what he said he likes in his introductory press conference, what he's drafted before. Like, Dalen Swain is interesting to me. I've kind of had Cam Carr circled at that spot for a while, and he ended up falling pretty far into the 20s. But look, I think Swain fits, is a really intriguing fit next to Caleb Wilson. It's a lot of athleticism. I think you look at the Bulls, who played really fast last year and got up and down. Like, if Tiago Splitter wants to keep doing that, you've got a pretty good core of guys to play pretty fast with Josh Giddey, Matas Buzelis, Dalen Swain, Caleb Wilson. Now, I do wonder who's going to make a three on this Bulls team.
Where's Dalen the shooting? Swain, I don't know.
Is a questionable shooter, but I think you acquire these level of athletes with this type of upside. I think Swain does a lot of things really well. I think he has great upside as a defender. He lived at the rim last year. He can create, be a secondary creator alongside Giddey a little bit. Like, I'm buying in. Bryson Graham, these are his guys, clearly. Yeah. I'm in on it. Let's see how it goes. I'm excited. I think the Bulls got two really good players.
Yeah, can he be our OG? Like, there's some Knicks flavor coming
really
to this
good
team.
Really good
but,
call.
But now can you get your primary scorer at some point? Like, that's what they're going to have to get. But there's an identity. Like, there's certainly an identity they're trying to get here, and a lot of length, a lot of athleticism. We'll figure out the shooting maybe a little bit later, but the Bulls will not be small. Positional size, man, that is becoming all the rage in the NBA right now. Speaking of Illini in the NBA, two big trades on Monday night. I went to bed early, Kyle, because I had about 2.5 hours of sleep before my red eye to get to New York so I could talk to Keaton and his family.
These NBA news dumps always come at like midnight. Like, if there's a blockbuster trade, it's going to happen at 12:30 a.m.
So I woke up after a long night of sleep for me, and figure out Io DeSumo is staying in Minnesota because they traded Julius Randle. The Nets cleared all that space. They re-signed 5 years, $112 million, nine figures for Io DeSumo. Maybe he should have been a first-round draft pick back then, but it worked out for him, Kyle. He's made more money because of it, because he got to his free agency earlier with the Bulls, and then obviously gets into a great situation with the Timberwolves, and they value him highly. Love that he's staying there. 5 years, $112 million. Only Deron Williams has made more money among Illini in the NBA. Couldn't happen to a better candidate, because Io's a phenomenal player, and he's proven himself. Gets that big third contract, Kyle.
Deron didn't ever sign a deal that surpassed $112 million, did he?
His last deal was pretty big.
It might have been.
Yeah, I think it was nine figures.
Yeah, because I was going to ask if this is the largest contract that an Illini has ever signed in the NBA, if not its second, for sure. Heck of a payday for Io. Yeah, I love that he's going to be sticking around in Minnesota long term. Loved watching that team.
It is
in the playoffs. It is.
5 years, $98.8 million. Now Darren would have been a max $250 million player. Now
eras have a lot to do with that, of course. But yeah, no, I think it's awesome. Good for Io. I mean, this was his big chance to cash in, coming off a career year. He signed a 3-year, $21 million deal with the Bulls as a restricted free agent 3 years ago. Vastly outperformed that contract. That became one of the better value contracts in all of basketball. Now he hits unrestricted free agency, coming off a great year. Proved himself on a playoff team, which was awesome to see for him after the years that he had to spend in that Bulls mediocrity circle, to be able to be traded to Minnesota with Anthony Edwards, with a team that has been a consistent postseason threat, and to see him shine on that stage, which you knew he was going to, right? Like, when I go ahead,
you know, it's just weird because, like, I do want to give the Bulls a little credit for Io, like,
And I didn't mean to, but
at the end, did they know what they had? And okay, I'll never forgive him for not giving him the extension that he probably should have gotten, and not like being like, hey, maybe this guy can run a little bit more offense, maybe we can trust him to run a little more offense. Minnesota gets him right away and just like, yeah, go do that. And it's stuff we saw at Illinois. Now, he didn't do it great immediately. He's turned himself in. He's gotten better. So I want to give the Bulls a little bit credit. But, yeah, getting away from them, it certainly helped them. I was hoping they'd overpay and get him back. But, obviously, Io got the money he needed from Minnesota.
Yeah, and I think it makes a lot more sense for Minnesota to give him this contract than it would the Bulls at this stage. As much as I love Io, I think this – makes a ton of sense for them and is a great fit for him. And hopefully see him in the playoffs here for years to come with that Minnesota team, which has some work to do to build that roster, to get over the San Antonio, Oklahoma City hump, which everybody does at this point. But pair him alongside Anthony Edwards long-term, that's exactly what Minnesota has been looking for a while before Io came along, was that secondary creator to put in the backcourt to take some pressure off of Ant. Io showed that. Obviously, he carried the load when Ant was injured in the playoffs remarkably well, shined on that stage. You knew he would. As soon as you put Io in a big-time playoff series, you knew that guy was going to step up and perform, just a winner. So awesome to see him sign that deal. I'm excited to watch that. I think it's a great long-term fit for him. And, yeah, he deserved this payday. He earned this. And I think this contract will age pretty well. As much as maybe in Minnesota went a little higher than they would have hoped to, I think they'll be okay with it here a couple years down the line.
And just another Illini angle, it's a pretty good week for Illinois when they can send Brady Pettigrew potentially. Hey, we had the number 5 overall pick, and plus we just had a guy sign a $112 million deal. Pretty good recruiting stuff.
Yeah, I'd say so. I'd say so.
Pretty good. Also, Giannis gets moved to Miami. Miami sends a bunch of stuff, including Kasperis Jakusconis. And some people report that he was a big part of Milwaukee. They were pushing to get him. He goes to Milwaukee, which is going to have a rebuild here, but they're also trying to win because they don't own their draft picks, Kyle. So they get Tyler Hero is the big piece, Khalil Ware. But KJ is an interesting piece here for Milwaukee because he does have upside. They did not get a star back. Like Tyler Hero, he's a really good player, high impact scorer in the NBA. He's just not a star level, but they need some guys with some upside. Khalil Ware's got it. They get a bunch of draft picks, but they also had a young player in KJ who's still, 19, 20 years old, who's amazingly efficient. And at one point we thought was going to be a lottery pick, top 10 pick in last year's draft. They get him. It's going to be really interesting for him because maybe he can get the ball in his hands a little bit more. He's playing more off ball last year, was really efficient as a shooter, shot up 42%. Barely turned the ball over, which obviously Illinois fans know the opposite of that from when he was here. But that's a guy with upside that I'm really intrigued by, to see what he can get with more run with Milwaukee. It seemed like the Heat didn't like giving him up, but you got to give something up to you if you're going to get one of the top 5 players in the world.
Yeah, his rookie year was really interesting because his role was so vastly different than what we saw at Illinois. And that's the case for most guys who entered the NBA that were big time on ball guys in college, because you're going into a situation where you have to coexist with established stars and veterans. But you know, KJ was an off guard. He was more of a catch and shoot 3-point shooter, more of a connective piece, a guy that actually grew a lot defensively and was gaining a lot of trust later in the season. Like, he was almost becoming more of a 3-and-D off guard. His rookie year was really efficient doing it, shot 43% from three. Got to show some things with the ball in his hands at times, especially with Tyler Hero hurt for a lot of the year. But, yeah, I'm interested to see how that could change a little bit in Milwaukee. I think just in general, Milwaukee offers him more runway immediately, because I think Milwaukee's going to be looking for guys like him to give opportunity to hopefully find that high ceiling with and let grow, because this is a team, yeah, to your point, they kind of are in between a little bit, and that I think they have the pieces now with all they got in the Giannis trade that they're not going to bottom out. They are going to be somewhat competitive, but at the same time, they're kind of fully resetting after the Giannis deal. They're aiming for the future. They're going to give a lot of young guys tick, and I think Kasperis will fall right into that. And, you know, it's a guard rotation that, yes, they have Tyler Hero. Now Ryan Rollins was a guy that's under contract for next year and really broke out with them, and now they drafted Braden Burries at number 10 overall. So it's a little bit crowded there, but I think Kasperis will have a role there, and I think the Bucks will want to give him as much opportunity as possible, more so than the Heat, who, while he did play some, that was a team that kind of was pushing for it and it has been well-established. Like, it was a little bit harder to fully trust him. I think Milwaukee will have a little bit more leeway for him to shine next year.
The only downside is you're leaving Eric Spoelstra and Pat Riley.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, the development there, like, obviously they've needed to get another star talent with Bam, and they become a really, I don't know if they're a contender for the NBA Finals, but all of a sudden they become potentially a top five team if they can fill out the roster around those two. And they've been so good at development and so good at getting the most out of players. So for Kasperis to lose that, to get out of that Heat culture, which I know has taken a dent here because they've been more mediocre, but they're still really good at what they do. So getting away from that, not the biggest fan of, but I think he got enough of it, and now he can see what he can do in Milwaukee. So I'm interested to see. And that's what's fun, is like KJ and Will had some encouraging things last year. Will Riley had obviously a great end of the year on a bad team that was tanking, but he showed he can be an NBA scorer. Kasperis being efficient, that was a big question mark for him going to the NBA. Being efficient in an off-ball role was really encouraging to see. And we know Terrence has had flashes on a really good team. Io is succeeding. So for Illinois, like, these guys seem like they've been prepared to make an impact. And they've gone into some situations and made as much as they can out of it. So that's been really encouraging to see, Kyle.
Yeah, I mean, that's the other thing. Producing NBA draft picks is one thing. Those guys actually then producing in the NBA is another thing. And I like where all these guys are at moving forward. Obviously, Io has been well established, but I do think Terrence, after what he showed late in the season, is going to become more and more of a part of what Minnesota wants to do, especially as just a different type of guy off the bench that I think was so valuable for them. But two guys in Kasperis and Will, who are both came into the league at 19 years old, are going to be 20 years old next year. Still so young, still has so much. Like, that's the thing. I think both showed really good flashes last year, but those guys, you knew when they got drafted that they were pretty raw and that it was going to take them some time. And I think both showed what you hope that they would show as rookies in each respective situation. For Will Riley, I'm really fascinated to see what that Wizards situation is going to be, because the Trae Young contract, I don't know what that is. That was shocking to me that they gave that out. I don't really understand the Trae Young, Anthony Davis aspect of it, because I do really like their young core. And, you know, I think Anthony Davis works a little bit more, but I think the Wizards are building something, and I think Will Riley's a part of that after what he showed last year. Now you obviously got A.J. DeBonce to build around, but I'm really interested to see how he grows with that team. And then I think seeing Kasperis with more opportunity in a Bucks organization, that, yeah, you leave Eric Spoelstra, you leave the Heat. I do think Taylor Jenkins has pretty good developmental track record there. His offenses have been really good in Memphis here recently with John Morant. Like, I think that's a pretty good situation for him too. And we obviously talked so much about how good we feel about Keaton Wagler's NBA career. So I think it's trending up for all these guys in the NBA. I think these guys are all going to be contributors, and they're in good spots.
Well, Kyle, I've never covered an NBA draft. It was a pretty cool spectacle. Get to be in the arena while all those draft picks are going on. and to see Keaton and his family and Brad be able to celebrate that was really cool. And it was all the Illini staff, right? Like, you had all five assistant coaches, and I heard Orlando give a big woo when Wagner got drafted, and ran into Adam Fletcher on the concourse. Really cool moment. And to be here was really cool, but I only got five picks and I had to get to work. So I didn't get to watch the rest of it, but really cool moment. And we'll probably have to send you, Kyle, because I'm sure Illinois will have a couple more here in the next couple of years.
Yeah, I think it's a pretty safe bet. I think it's going to become a much more regular occurrence that Illini Inquirer will be traveling to the NBA draft, because that's what Illinois has established here. But yeah,
you got box number one on that list, though?
Yeah, I do. I do. I'm all in.
I think it's Box and Merck. I think Merck's going to have a monster year. And I just think in a weaker draft, like his skill, like Alex Caravan just went 29, which I love. I love that guy. But like, he doesn't have like the NBA traits outside of, he's just skilled. He's a winner, all those things. Like there's things that Merck don't translate to the NBA, but there's some things that really do. And if he continue to be a knockdown shooter, elite rebounder, like, I think some team's going to like that. Maybe it's not number 10, maybe it's not number 8 or whatever it is, but I think Merck has a chance. I think we should talk about him more as a first-round NBA prospect at some point. If he takes the leap, I think Illinois thinks he's going to take.
Yeah, it's definitely fair. I have some questions about what that translation is going to be and what he's going to be valued at, just because I wonder where he can survive positionally in the NBA a little bit.
Can he guard?
Right. Like, I just – you know, he doesn't have the size to play the five, where I think his skill set would be really intriguing. And at the four, I think there's some real question marks about how he stands up defensively. So that's where the hangup comes from, that I think could be positive for Illinois, because I think even if he is a really good college player, there's still going to be that decision at some point, just based on kind of the prospect he is, where you can maybe keep him in college for a few years. But I think you're right. I think if he has the year that I think he can have, and we think he can have at Illinois in this offense, and improves in the areas he needs to, in a draft next year that doesn't quite have the top end talent or the depth, frankly, of this draft. I know there'll be more depth given the guys that came back now moving on, but I think that's certainly a possibility. And I think Quentin Coleman is right in that mix too. It's been 3-1 and duns in the last 2 years. We'll see what his role ultimately looks like, but his skill set, the toughness and competitiveness he showed for Team USA, even if he doesn't average Keaton Wagler numbers, which he probably won't, I think there'll be NBA appeal for him after next year in some capacity. So yeah, there's a lot of guys. Andre Stojakovic obviously will be a factor in that.
He got two 7-footers too, but you have veterans, and if you win, right, those veterans are more likely to be taken in what, you know, the late first or early second, right, or whatever that is. So those guys all, that's why it's a loaded roster, Kyle. Just absolutely loaded roster, where you have six guys you can legitimately talk about as NBA draft picks, or draft prospects, at least.
Yeah, legitimately. And we'll see. There's some pretty intriguing freshmen too that could work their way to that point down the line as well. It's gonna be fun to monitor. This is becoming a common occurrence for Illinois. NBA talent playing for Illinois basketball. And that's what you need. That's what you need to be successful.
We'll see if Colin Boswell gets picked. Not a lot of people projecting him to get picked in the second round, so we'll see, but he'll get his chance. He'll be an undrafted free agent by somebody if he doesn't get drafted tomorrow night, but it'd be really cool if Colin Boswell got drafted as well. But that's all I got for tonight. Kyle, you got anything else?
I don't think so. I think we got everything.
Cool night. Really cool night. Number five pick in the draft. One of the only three guys to do that. Really cool to be here. I'll have a story. Caught up with Brad Underwood and Tyler Underwood here at Barclays Center, along with Keaton Wagler. We'll have much more. I know Kyle's got some takeaways from the NBA draft as well. So we'll have all of that for you at Illini Inquirer. But from Brooklyn, and I'm Jeremy Warner from Illinois. That's Kyle Toss. Thank you for listening to the Illini Inquirer podcast. Give us a follow, rating, review wherever you get your podcast. Check us out on YouTube. Hit that like button, subscribe, and hit the notifications bell as well. Everybody have a great night. Take care of each other. We'll talk to you next time on the Illini Inquirer podcast.
Bye, everybody.